Welcome to the Bambushi Happy Hour. I am Peju Bambushi Roethlisberger.
Hi, everyone, and I'm Naomi Bambushi.
And this is the Bambushi Happy Hour film and TV edition. How are you, Mom? What's up?
Oh, wonderful, honey. What's up? Summertime and hot, sweltering weather down Texas way. We are in the midst of a heat wave, temperatures over 100 degrees every day for the next couple of weeks, it seems like.
Yeah.
And no end in sight. But you know what? It's sunny. Everything's okay. We got AC. We got plenty of water, you know. So
And I have a pool.
Yeah, well, you have a private pool. And of course, in my complex, we have a community pool. And so, you know, hey, wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, all good. I am good, honey. I am good. How's everything with you, daughter?
Everything is good. I don't know what you thought about the news that Boris Johnson resigned. I don't even know really what was even going on with all that. It just seems so confusing. Just like they got sick of him and they're like, look, man, get out of here.
You know, he was lying, telling all a bunch of lies and everything. I think what lasted him was that COVID party gate.
I think that was the
straw that broke the camel's back. But wait a minute, but hold up, he'd been lying all the time anyway. But you know what I love so much? At least they hold their politicians accountable.
Yeah.
We over here in the United States sit here and hear a whole bunch of lies and craziness and just absolute unreality, and we just go with the flow.
Yeah.
You know? And I wonder when we're going to wake up and at least be like the UK. And I mean, I'm not saying they make the best choices either, but Jesus Christ, don't let nobody just pull the wool over your eyes and talk to you like you're a fool. If you agree with their conservative or liberal politics or whatever, fine. But don't let nobody just tell you a bunch of lies and you go for it. You
know,
and they held them accountable. That's what it is. But I don't know. He's got some kind of quasi situation going on where he's half. He resigned, but I think he's trying to still stay in the building for a while.
But they want him out.
There's no real finality to it yet. So I don't know if there's like a new transition. I'm not sure about that. I haven't heard since a couple of hours ago. Anything could have happened in the last couple of hours. You know how things move.
But good.
If the people want him out, then he go. You know.
You mentioned about the COVID party. I also think too, the economy isn't doing well. So you know, when the economy isn't doing well, that could also be the last straw.
Where's my money? I think that all that. But then they could look at the global economy. So you know, so they can't. You know, they can't. You know, separate themselves from that. And then also the other thing is just plain and simple. He's been hooping and howling and lying and partying too much. Like you say, and they having a lot of problems and here he is lying and partying.
Yeah.
So, you know, the people just resent it and call them on it and tell them just to get to stepping.
Yeah, I don't blame them. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So let's let everybody know what we are sipping on today. We're doing another oldie but goodie. We haven't had this in a while, Ma. This is the Highway Vodka.
Okay.
Remember our former guest, Ben Williams?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Highway Vodka is also an excellent libation. Okay, my girl. Long life and prosperity, health, wealth, and happiness, and staying hydrated. Salud.
Salud. Okay. You know, that's strong. You know, I love it, but it's strong. So I have to get my bearings together.
No, please. I love it because it is strong. That's what makes me love it.
Okay. So let's get into, actually, we only have one movie this week, and it was a doozy, as you would always say, Ma. Beauty, written and produced by Lena Waithe. Okay, and it stars Giancarlo Esposito, Niecy Nash. We have a Sharon Stone sighting in here. And also the actress that I'm not really familiar with, who is the actress Beauty, Gracie Marie Bradley. Now, this story is about an up-and-coming gifted singer from a pretty strict religious family. And that's where it begins. That's where it ends. It's not good. The father, played by Giancarlo Esposito, is money grubbing. the singer of beauty. I think she is gay or at least fluid in here. She has a Robin S type girlfriend, the one that they tried to say was Whitney's girlfriend, Whitney Houston. It appears that they're trying to make it seem like beauty is like Whitney Houston. She is pandering to a white audience, and the black audience will, you know, get upset with her. And then there is a cameo from Joey Badass, the rapper, who seems to resemble a young Bobby Brown. And then we have the religious mother played by Niecy Nash, who supposedly can sing really well. We never hear any of them sing. And then the father is just something else. Go ahead, Ma.
Lena, your last name is pronounced Wait. You should have waited before you put this movie out. You should have waited a minute, Lena. I know you have talent, my girl. I know you have talent. Why did you decide to hide it? Why did you decide to hide your talent in this movie? Beauty? Good. At least you gave it a nice name, Beauty. A movie about a singer where nobody sings. She's a singer with just we have to take your word that her voice is such a beauty.
Nobody sings better than her mother, who taught her,
Niecy Nash, we have to take your word that her mother, you didn't even dub over with some other nondescript person with a good voice. Nothing. What is wrong with you, Lena? We could at least say, you know what? That young lady could sing. Boy, Niecy has some hidden talents. Or even, boy, that young lady can rap. Or boy, that young lady can lip sync. Something. You gave us nothing. Nothing. But we supposed to buy that she is such a, out of this planet singer. And you gave us nothing. So therefore, it was incredible, and I'm incredulous, okay? It was unbelievable, and I don't believe it, okay? It was the worst crap I have ever seen you, Lena. Were you out of your mind? And that script was so beneath Giancarlo Esposito, for heaven's sake.
Oh my gosh.
Because he is all that. And yes, that script, he just took a paycheck and just did it because of the sisterhood and because of the community.
And
that movie sucked worse than a damn grove of lemons. Oh, that gosh. Movie sucked.
I can't believe you, Lena. And Niecy Nash is a good actress.
And Niecy.
She really is.
Niecy, you know Niecy can chop it up with them. And you gave nothing. The family, the script was terrible. Everybody was unlikable. The parents were hideous. They were pitting the kids against each other. They were showing all type of preferential treatment. The father had a heart attack and he's laying on the bed telling the daughter, he's one step from the graveyard, and he's there telling the daughter, where's his cut? Where's his money? Just crazy. And the daughter says to him, no, you ain't getting no cut. Now, we haven't seen her earn a damn penny yet.
No.
They we haven't seen her sing or do anything yet. That was the word. What was wrong? You know what? It's a credit to you that you was able to scam people, whoever helped you finance that bullshit movie.
She's a producer. You know that, right?
I don't care, but I don't know what that means.
She's a producer and screenwriter.
I don't know what produce means, a lot of things. I don't know if you carried a couple gowns across the hall or if you pumped a bunch of money in it. I don't know. Produce covers everything. I've been in the business a little bit on the edges of it myself, and I know producer does everything from soup to nuts. I don't know what the hell you produce, but that was one suck-ass movie. Lena, I want you to know it.
Yeah.
And if you want to comment on it, baby, the truth is my defense. I'll let anybody who wants to see it view it. And I guarantee you, the consensus will be, damn, Lena, what was wrong with you?
Why and Lena's very talented. She has a shy out,
There was no excuse for that, Nina. If you wasn't ready to play, you should have kept your arse home. Why did you come out to play?
You didn't even give it much of a name.
You just gave it a name that, okay, beauty, everybody knows. Beauty is nice. That's it. You didn't even give it a name because you know why? Because you were so damn confused, you didn't know what to call it. Beauty.
So I'm gonna give it a hooch.
Hooch is
so
hell. It's a hooch. Can I give a zero? You get one because the people showed up. You get one. That was a hooch is hell. That was a sub hooch.
I'm a two hooch because it gets a one for Giancarlo and a one for Niecy Nash taking time for them from their busy schedule.
I'm mad at them for even allowing themselves to be in that. I'm mad with them. They get the one. They know better than that. All the credits and skill and talent they had. They know they could have told that girl, you know. They didn't want to hurt her feelings. You know, they know they could have told her.
And Lena White knows better than that. She has much more talent than that.
Lena, I have written better shit than that when I was in high school. Okay? I've written better stuff than that in high school. And I was not even a good writer. I was not even the most talented among the other students.
Okay.
We had students who wrote better stories than that.
Okay, but let's move on. Oh gosh. Okay. So let's talk about the finale for Stranger Things. This is the finale for season four. So there was a lot of things that went on in season four, but I will say.
Oh my goodness. It was busy as it could be. It was very busy.
I'm going to start off by saying really good job. I thought this was one of the better seasons. I thought the first season was, you know, probably the best. And then, or this one, I'm not exactly sure, because this was definitely more of an adult season. This is not something to have little children watch.
Right.
But the character development,
the
character development to me was really good. I like that Eleven finally got her powers back.
That was good.
We needed to see that. I'm going to just say this now. You can go in.
I was sorry to see Eddie die.
Yes. I didn't like that. Let me just say this. Guys, I don't know what you're doing with season five, because they already have a spinoff coming up about the upside down world. And I don't know if the kids are going to be in it or not. They're not kids anymore.
Right. But the young people.
Please, when you come back with season five, move forward a few years. Because these kids, they're young men and women. They don't look 14, okay? They do not look 14. Lucas's little sister is supposed to be 11, and the actress is 15, okay? The other people who are playing 14 are 18, 19, 20, 27, 30, who knows, whatever, okay? Steve, who I really like, is 30 years old, okay? I need you guys to move forward a few years, please, just for our own intelligence, because like how you had the children being intelligent, your audience is also intelligent, so stop. Okay. That part I wanted to get out, but go ahead, Mom.
I agree with you. Well, I have been, you know, uneven in terms of what I saw and what I didn't see throughout the seasons. Mm-hmm. What I will say is this. What I did see of it, I enjoyed immensely. And I thought the writers were on top of their games. Thought it was very creative. I mean, it wasn't the typical, you know, woo, 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 you know, ghost and goblin foolishness. It was really well thought out and very creative. And just, you know, and the characters, you really could get connected to the characters and you rooted for them. You wanted them to do well. You wanted them to survive. You wanted them to solve the issues and fix the town and, you know, and get rid of the evil, what's his name? Vinca, Vecna, whatever.
Vecna. Yes.
You know, yeah. You wanted Vecna and his cohorts gone, you know, you really rooted for them. You really connected with the characters, the adult characters and the kids. You know, I think those writers are on top of their game. I enjoyed it very much. That's all I want to say. I'm a total fan. I'm a complete fan.
A couple things that I wanted to mention for the upcoming season. This season will admitted, and we were, you know, we all, the audience felt it, that he was in love with Mike. We got that. You got that feeling. And I like that they did that.
Talks to Mike, the way he talks to Mike is like a, you know,
and he's
a declaration of love.
And you can see that he's in pain when Mike is talking to 11. Like he just, like his whole face just changes.
Well, it's unrequited love. I mean, he just happens to be gay, but it's unrequited love that people have all the time.
That's true.
He's no different, you know.
And Steve and Nancy, let's let them get together, guys. Come on. They're both, you know, Steve is 30 and Nancy is approaching 30. Okay. Let them get together. All right. Because we know they really need to be. I like that Joyce and Hopper, which is, you know, Winona Ryder's character. Yeah. I'm glad that you guys have, you know, kind of put her, she needs something. She needs someone. And I hope that we see like a wedding when they finally do the finale for that. But what I'm most concerned about is Will and Vecna, because from the first season, we know that Will was affected very strongly by all types of different supernatural feelings. And when he goes back into, you know, his hometown, he feels that Vecna is still alive, which we know he's still alive. And we know and we know that Will.
And you don't know if that power is going to go for good or for evil.
Right.
So
we want to see what happens with that. But I thought this was an excellent season. Really good job. And I'm going to give it a top shelf 9. You know, like I said, the second and third season, but the first and fourth season, top notch.
Yeah, the first and fourth season is what I primarily did watch, and I have enjoyed it very much. And I thought the actors and writers have been on top of their game. Excellent. You are drawn in and you buy into the storyline. You know, even though you know there's all this supernatural stuff, you buy into the experience that the kids are having and the adults as well. You know, you totally are absorbed by it. I give it a strong 9, even a 9.5. I think
top the shelf?
Super top shelf.
Okay, yes. I like that. Okay, the other show, we're not really going to talk about it this week because they're having its finale. That by the time you listen to us, I'm sure the finale would have aired. But The Boys, we're going to save it for next week to discuss the third season, which we both thought was really excellent. This is definitely now, we said Stranger Things was not for kids. This is for, because Stranger Things can maybe be for older teenagers. This is for strictly adults when you get to The Boys. But my one little revelation going into the finale is that we saw that Soldier Boy is Homelander's father. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that quick before we move on to the next show.
I don't have any really thoughts about it, except that another twist and turn in the script. I mean, I don't really have any other thought except that good. You know, good. You know, keep us guessing, keep us interested, and keep the storyline strong, you know, and that's what they seem to be doing. And in fact, it gets even better in many ways, you know, and that's wonderful.
I wasn't expecting that. I thought that was like a good little twist.
I didn't either. That was just a wonderful plot twist. Not even thinking in that direction at all, because there's such strong, animosity between the two of them.
Which absolutely
adds up. So just really good writing, really creative thinking, and really fun thinking. And keep the audience well entertained. Them two boys, those writers they're doing their thing.
Oh, they really are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's move on to another series that's in the middle of their season, which is P-Valley. This last episode, ooh, I thought P-Valley was really good. Really good, right? This was about Mississippi.
Oh yeah,
you can say what you want to say because we just talk about some of the reactions because this is pretty much giving us like a Cinderella type story about her background and the abuse that, you know, she dealt with, from whether it was dealing with stepmom and you know, stepsisters and the dad to a different type of extent, and meeting her quote unquote Prince Charming or her white knight, literally her white knight, yeah. Derek.
Yeah.
So I don't know, Ma, what did you think about this episode?
Okay, so, you've laid it out well, you know, about how, you know, Mississippi really went through, Keyshawn, you know, I like as Mississippi, really, how she went through all the things with the family and the stepmom and the, you know, preferential treatment given to her stepsisters, I guess they are. And the dad seemed to just be oblivious to everything going on, you know. And anyhow, and then when she met, you know, her white knight, he was very nice. Initially, he presented that way, and then down the road, things changed with that. But you know what? I don't know how much I'm supposed to be sharing.
You can say what you want to say. This is an ongoing series. So go ahead.
Okay. So let me put it to you this way. She sort of ended up being sort of saved, or someone sort of defended her honor in a very extreme way.
You can go ahead and say that. That was Little Murder's like producer, or what is he?
Yeah. Well,
the manager, Woody. Yeah,
Well, his manager, and what's the other guy? His friend. The other guy is his friend that travels with them, part of his entourage.
You talking about Teak? You're not talking about Teak.
Is that his name, Teak? The one who gave him the fentanyl. What's his name?
That's Woody.
Woody. Woody gave his manager.
Who's manager?
Little Murder's manager.
Oh, yes.
Little Murder and Mississippi's a manager.
Correct.
He was both of their manager.
Correct.
He tried to rape Mississippi.
Correct, yeah.
Remember? And Mississippi was all hurt and upset, and she managed to fight and get away from him and whatever, and then he...
I know that. What are your thoughts on everything?
I'm just talking in general. I'm just trying to make you, you know, okay, make you know who I'm talking about. Okay, because we aren't watching these things together, you know, so I just want you to know, you know, who I'm, you know, identifying. I thought it was really, really good. I'm sorry that he took it so far, but it in a way.
Well, but he also tried to, you know, he was going to do something bad to Mississippi. He was going to do something bad to Keyshawn.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I forget his name, which I was trying to get from you.
I don't know his name.
I don't know either. But he's part of their entourage.
Yeah, he is.
He's in with Mississippi and Little Murder in those. And he went in.
Is it Rome or Romeo? Romeo?
I don't know.
It's something like that. Okay, it's Rome or Romeo.
Yeah, well, anyhow, well, he stepped in and he...
No, that's the one that almost raped Mississippi, Romeo.
I'm talking about the one that killed him.
The one that killed him is Woody.
Woody, that's what I'm talking about. Woody defended Mississippi's honor is all I'm trying to say. You know, a Mississippi has people who do step in and try to defend her or protect her. Because remember at the club?
Yeah, I remember all that, Ma.
Yeah, okay. But all I'm saying is that we're saying Mississippi was treated so badly. Mississippi also has people who care about her and will treat her nicely, will treat her better. You know, Mississippi's at the point now where Mississippi is making some bad choices.
Well, she's made bad choices because, like, with Diamond, like, Diamond was trying to defend her.
Well, that's what I was saying at the club with Diamond.
I got it, Ma. Yeah, but...
And then now with Woody. I don't know that Woody's interested in her in that way, but he got very upset, you know, when he found out what that manager was trying to do to her and to all of them and trying to blackmail and this and that and blah, blah, blah. And then he went and he just finished him completely. So it was good. It was off the hook good. It was superlative. It was excellent. And those writers are doing their thing too. I'm not always in alignment with them because sometimes I think they get a little bit too much with it, even some of the language and some of the expressions or something from 100 years ago.
I don't, You know, I don't like how they address colorism. I don't like how they do
it. I don't. A lot of the things they do are from an era gone by, and it's too extreme. And no,
wait a minute, Ma.
If only the most unenlightened people even talk about things the way they describe it.
And listen, if it's not an era gone by with people dealing with colorism, then it needs to be something where people kind of just outright address the fact that we are all Black, all right. There's many different shades within our group. Okay, so no, I just wanted to go there.
No, I know.
I wanted to, because they always do that.
I don't like it the way Black people have embraced something that white people have used to separate us and cause problems within the group. And I don't like that Black people are so stupid to be buying into that. Okay, buying into what is used to separate us and make us argue among each other. And 90% of it is a product of rape, except, like I said, in the most recent years, because Black people couldn't even consent to having sex with white people. Okay, from the beginning, and only in the more recent years is that. Okay, so don't even buy into that. Sisters, brothers, don't buy into that. We're all different shades, however the hell we got that way. All different shades of Black. And I don't like Black people embracing this term brown. We're not the brown race, we're the Black race, okay? Irrespective to our hue.
That is very true, guys.
We are the Black race. The brown race or Asian, Indian, or whatever, this or that.
And
some Latin. Yeah. Not even all Latin, but some Latin. Yeah. Okay. Because some are white and some are Black and some are brown.
Yeah. In particular, like Mexicans.
So, right. And when we're talking about ourselves, African American, regardless if we're very light skin, dark skin, in the middle skin, whatever skin, everybody know that there's 47, 50 shades of Black people. Okay. So all this nonsense. I'm brown. Oh, we brown girls. Everybody know you're literally some shade of brown, probably. You might be Snow White or Jet Black and still be of African-American descent. But whatever, cut the shit, okay? We are African-American, we are Black people, and be proud of that. I don't want to hear this regression into things that's from ever gone by, ever where we were disgraced to refer to ourselves as Black. We are Black people, we wear it proud. I don't know who's brown. We're the brown girls. We're all damn brown. And we sell chocolates. We're all damn chocolate. We're all chocolate. All that bullshit, we're chocolate. We're all chocolate. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. How the hell, I like a chocolate man. Well, what's chocolate to you? Mocha chocolate? White chocolate? What chocolate to you? Dog chocolate? Go to the store and buy chocolate and see if you don't see all different shades of chocolate.
Everything you're saying is good, but we got to move on.
All right, I'm finished. I'm out. All right, go ahead.
Okay. I understand.
And I don't like that about P Valley, all that old ignorant sound.
It's very ignorant.
Every time stuff.
It's ignorant, but I think that's valley. I do think that that's where they
love the show.
But I also think that that's kind of the narrative with that's some what of the they things want that, to they, do. Yeah. That they deal with.
I don't like that. I don't embrace that. But I do love P-Valley.
Well, what I will
Please
say,
know can I'm we, a fan and watch it all the time. Go
can
ahead.
Can I just say one thing that they did? They did pay homage to several former strippers who have decided, who changed their, changed their ways, went on to become, successful business owners, whether it's Jocelyn from Cabaret on Love and Hip Hop and on Cabaret on Zeus, Jessica Dime. I forgot the other woman, but there was a couple of other ones in there. So just kind of wanted to put that out there. And I love that, Wonderful. And so just wanted to put that out there. All right.
We love P Valley. We don't like some of the things that they're embracing, but we understand that too. But we don't like it.
Yeah.
But we don't like it. Okay. Oh. And you know what? And Clifford, I ain't trying to say nothing to you. And I don't know what era you're supposed to be in, but you could pull your damn pants up a little bit. Your jaws.
Uncle Clifford?
Your jaws do not look
Uncle Clifford. Uncle Clifford does what he wants to do.
I know, Uncle Clifford, but you need to pull your jaws up a little bit or either buy some better looking drawers.
Okay, so next, All right. So Terminal List stars, this is a series that's on Amazon Prime. I saw the first couple of episodes, so I'm not going to delve into it deep, but just going to tell you what I think from the start. So Chris Pratt is a Navy SEAL whose entire platoon is ambushed, and he returns home to his family, and he has conflicting memories about what actually happened. And so Chris Pratt is like, I think the lieutenant commander, or he's in charge, or, you know.
Yeah.
So he also puts those that he loves the most in danger. So it also stars Taylor Kitsch, Constance Wu, and Riley Keough. That is Elvis Presley's granddaughter. So Ma, what are your thoughts on The Terminal List? Without delving into too deep.
Okay. Okay. Just a few words about The Terminal List. The Terminal List is better than I thought it was going to be. I must say I had very low expectations of The Terminal List, just based on Chris Pratt being the lead, because Chris Pratt has said some very disappointing and cruel and insensitive and very uninformed things recently. So he's not, you know, at the top of my list. And I really didn't think that I was gonna care for the picture at all, for this series at all. It's okay. I'll just say that it's okay. It has held my interest. The storyline is pretty strong. It's just sort of a story of betrayal. So far, we don't know exactly who's doing what to whom. Mm-hmm. Murder, betrayal, and espionage, okay? And we'll say that. And I think there's going to be a lot of heroism in it, which mm-hmm. is good. A heroism in it, which is good. And it's interesting. Without me saying exactly what, I'd like to say a few things in terms of there's some devastating loss in it that's going to prompt Chris Pratt's character, and he's Officer Reese, that's going to prompt him to go on a journey of, I don't know if you want to call it revenge, but just sort of finding out who's responsible for the deaths of many of the men that he was in charge of on one of their very, very dangerous operations, okay? There was betrayal and, greed and lots of things going on there. So it's pretty good.
I'm not a fan of it yet. I'm not enjoying it. I rewatched the first episode because I must have been dazed and confused. And then I watched the second episode, and it was okay. It was just mediocre. And so, you know, we'll see what happens as the season progresses. That was only the second episode that I watched. So I don't want to give it a rating yet, because I don't think it's fair. But it's okay. And then I don't want to be like biased against Chris Pratt. I don't want to just, you know, because I have that in my mind, but it just didn't do a lot. Like, I liked Reacher off bat a lot better than I like this. So we'll see.
Well, you know what? I agree with you in that we'll see how it all continues to unfold. It started off better than I thought. I had low expectations. And so maybe that's why it seems, you know, better to me. Because I am not a Chris Pratt fan. However, so far it's held my interest. So far it's held my interest. You know, when they're really bad, I fall asleep on them. But so far it's held my interest.
Okay. All right. So let's move on to our reality show of the week, guys. Married at First Sight is back. And it is following five lovely couples. And let's break down the couples a little bit, Ma, if we can. The first couple we want to break down is Lindy and Miguel. And, you know, just off bat, I'm concerned that Miguel is very smart. He has a PhD. I don't know if he's a scientist or something. I don't remember, but I know he's, you know, as far as
is he an engineer? Or is he the one that? Oh, no.
That's Ben. That's Ben. Yeah. But he has a PhD.
Yeah,
Miguel. You know, like I said, he intellectually, well, book wise, he is very intelligent. He appears to be a fan of Dungeons and Dragons. He likes to dress up in costume and not in a sexual, you know, freakish fun type sexual, well, fun way. And then he's paired with Lindy, who comes from a very religious, restrictive background and kind of bolted and broke through and, you know, just kind of wanted to live her life and is looking for a man. And all of a sudden, here comes Miguel dressed in his costume. And I like Miguel. Like, I like Miguel. He's a nerd. He's smart. He's funny. He's not bad looking. Don't think this is going to be a good match, Mom. What are your thoughts on Lindy?
And you know, it's early and we really need to see how they mesh. And we haven't seen that yet because they haven't even gone through the ceremony yet. So I don't know. It's you know, kind of a little early to predict. But what I will say is that Lindy is very outgoing. She talks a lot. Mm-hmm. And let's see how that translates, because I think he might want somebody who doesn't talk quite as much, you know, and is a little is a little more concerned with him than she is with her own thoughts and ideas. So I don't know. Let's see how this all works out. Like I said, it's, you know, premature to make any kind of real assessment, but I could see them running into some problems already. But let's see. You know, I'm going to take a wait and see attitude. Okay.
Okay. So next, since you talk about going through with the ceremony, let's talk about Alexis and Justin. Now, Justin is 6'8", and he kept for most of this episode talking about how women are only interested, only see him as a piece of meat, and they only want the D. This is what he said. Sorry, Ma. You know.
What you mean, sorry, Ma?
Well, you know, I know. I just, I heard know, what he said. I'm still exactly your daughter. You know, yeah, I have to, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's what he kept saying. And Justin, no disrespect to Justin. Justin, I don't want to say he's unattractive, but I will say that he is not Idris Elba. I will say that he is not what we will say built like LeBron James. I will just say that. He is 6'8". That is, we understand.
He has the height.
He has the height. So, okay.
Well, he makes it sound like he is God's gift to women.
Yes. Yes. That's he does.
Has to beat him off with a stick to the point that he's not giving up his D anymore.
Yeah, he's celibate. He's celibate for a year and a half. Yeah.
Yeah. Those women are undeserving of the treasure he has.
And the funny thing about it was the woman that he's paired with, Alexis, all of her best friends are male. You know, she's very active, very, you know, kind of, you know, independent, she has a good personality. But what I noticed was she kept saying, I want somebody tall. I want someone tall. I want someone tall. Well, then when she sees him, she was like, well, not that tall.
Right. That's a little extra, as if he could control his height.
Right. You know, right.
Like, what is wrong with you?
And she says, Ma, he's not awful, but he's not my type.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So I see her as, but yet she's all in. So let's just see how it goes, because she's, you know what? And she was quick to come out of her mouth in the confessional, mm-hmm. talking about Lindy. She shouldn't have been manipulated into that.
No.
You know, she started out saying Lindy was a wonderful person. And then they said, now, what do you really think? Then she started going in on Lindy. She should have resisted that.
Because she didn't know Lindy. She didn't know Lindy.
You know, but she was popping off about Lindy. She should have let that go. So she's quick to criticize, is what I'm saying. Very quick to be critical. Yeah.
So the third couple, Christian and Mitch. So we see another red flag with them when Christian says she has, for red flag for her is a man in his late 30s who's afraid to commit. And so we meet Mitch, who is not in his late 30s. He's in his early 40s and has problems committing. So I don't see anything good there. Now, maybe they're just trying to, you know, psych us and just kind of make us say, are you guys serious? But why would you put someone who literally says a red flag is a man that hasn't been in a long relationship in their late 30s and here's one in his early 40s who has not? I do not understand that.
I don't understand that piece either. I guess they're testing him to see if he's changed his commitment phobic ways. You know, I don't know. I don't know what that is. I'm not understanding that one at all.
Yeah. And then the fourth couple we have, is it Stacia and Nate? Is that how she pronounces her name?
I'm not really sure. Stasha.
Oh, Stasha. Okay. Stasha and Nate. Yeah. So Stasha is an independent woman financially. She doesn't need anybody. She's strong, but she wants a husband and she wants two kids. And that's what she is looking for. And she seems like, you know, she has her set ways. And she also said that she didn't spend much time in her life ever looking for a mate. Now, I think that's a issue that I have with her already. Because you have to be open and willing to accept someone, and it takes work. It's not that you go ahead and pay somebody, hey, let me pay the matchmaker, or hey, I'm going to go on a TV show and everything is going to magically work. Now, look, they can prove me wrong as far as, you know, them being compatible, but it's going to be work no matter what. And so that worries me about her. Nate just seems like he says that he has his ish together. He's a day trader and all of a sudden now he's making money. He, to me, just seems off. Something seems like he is in a different world. I don't see him and Stasha hitting it off. Maybe they will, but how he was with the stripper, I thought that was disrespectful. And Married at First Sight, we need to see some male strippers. When you do that next time, when you have female strippers for the bachelors, let's do that. That's not right.
Yeah.
But go ahead, Mom. Sorry.
Well, Nate, I don't know. To me, Nate's behavior, I don't like his style. I don't like his, especially the way he wears his hair. I've seen his hair okay once or twice, but sometimes with all these sharp different braids and everything, he needs to have his braids restyled. They just look like a kid just threw some braids on his head, you know, and shaved the sides. I don't think they're very stylish. I think he looks better with the hair loose, natural, or either cut down low. I think he looks much better. He too is pretty tall and thin. He's not like Justin, but he's pretty tall. And I don't know. There's something about him that, you know, it's wonderful to have friends of all hue, all shades, all ethnicity, but there is something wrong when you have friends that are none of them are the same ethnicity that you are. Mm-hmm. That's an issue. Somebody should be. They don't all have to be, not at all. But you should have some friends that look like you, you know, and believe me, that is absolutely true. Something very telling about that. Mm-hmm. And whatever it might be, but it's not good. That's one of the main things I noticed about him, you know, and the friends seem to be very nice, but what's his issue? You know, I don't know how committed he is. To me, he does not seem serious at all. I haven't not heard anything from him that would indicate that he is a serious-minded person. He still seems to be kind of flaky and out there. He's just recently been able to take care of himself. Prior to that, he was not. Prior to that, he was scattered all over the place. Maybe it's a permanent transition. I hope so. Jury's still out on him, too. I don't know, you know, what's really going on with him, but it is something. And it'll, you know, we'll find out. Cause like I said, I don't know. However, the woman that he's paired with seems to be very stable, you know, seems to be right.
Yeah, she does.
She seems to be extremely stable. So I don't know, to me, they seem to be two opposites. So I don't know what the intent was of the, the experts.
I don't know, see my quotation marks, right, experts.
So I'm, you know, I don't want to be too harsh yet because we just started, so I don't want to go there, but I don't know, so we shall see. But wait a minute, you know what, we both forgot to mention Alexis, back with Alexis and Justin. What was Alexis saying every minute? I've been proposed to 3 times. Every minute you turn around.
Yeah.
Was she walking down the street and passed some drunk and they said, I'll marry you, mama. Or let's get married, baby. I mean, what do you mean you've been proposed to 3 times? What does that mean? Were they anything? Were they serious? Were they something that you really wanted to consider? What does that mean? That means
nothing. Clearly not, because she didn't accept any of the proposals.
And I'm tearing everybody down, as if to sound like she is so selective. We don't know what those proposals were.
Yeah.
We don't know what they were. You know, was it three different people? Was it the same person? One person asking you 3 times? What was that? You know? I'm serious. I mean, what do you mean you've been? She act like that's some badge of honor or that means something. You know, if you stop and dissect that, what does that mean?
No, it means
nothing. I don't know why you're even talking about it. But now Justin has been engaged, which did mean something.
Right.
It meant there was some sort of agreement and commitment and even a tentative plan to get married.
Yeah.
It does mean something. You know, she's not been engaged to anybody. And she just keeps, like, she's so desirable. She keeps saying that means nothing at all to we women who know that we done heard it all different times throughout the years, you know, in all types of ways, some sincere and most not that great, you know.
Yeah.
And she's just acting like, you know, no. I bet you she wasn't presented with 3 of the engagement rings. I bet you 3 men didn't come to her on their hands and knees with a ring. I bet you that didn't happen. You know.
Yeah.
So she's presenting as fake already. That's all I'm trying to say. To me, she's putting a false narrative out there already.
Well, let's move on to the last couple, Morgan and Ben. So what I think will happen with them is there will be definitely some sexual chemistry as we see the previews of them in the shower making out.
Morgan wants an aggressive man.
She wants an aggressive man. She also wants to travel, and she's still in her 20s and wants to live her life. And Ben,
do all that.
And listen,
right partner.
But Ben, he doesn't want to spend any money.
Ben is cheap.
He says frugal, but he's cheap.
Mm-hmm.
That is what he is. So I don't know how that will work out. You know, maybe, you know, they're still young. So let's see. You know, I have a little bit more hope for them because they're young and saying things that just don't make any sense until they actually get with the person.
They need to be a little bit more balanced. She's way out here to the left. He's way out there to the right or whatever. So let's see how they can come together, because maybe they can, you know, maybe they care about each other enough to bring balance to each other, you know? So, you know, so let's see how it goes. Like I said, nobody is married yet other than Alexis and Justin.
And Justin,
So we have the 4 other couples to go. So let's see how it all works out.
They
haven't even seen each other. And to me, things start to go downhill when they
As soon as they see each other. I don't know who they think they're going to do. Like, that's my thing. Who is it that they think? Come on. All right. So let's move on to another one of our favorite segments, full price matinee or refund.
Okay.
So this one is about the Dallas Cowboys. So the Dallas Cowboys sparked some criticism on social media after announcing a marketing agreement with a gun-themed coffee company called Black Rifle Coffee Company, with blends that include AK-47, espresso, and Murdered Out. And just to, you know, to say, Cowboys have donated $400,000 to the school shooting in Uvalde. But people were upset because this announcement was made on the 4th of July, and it was saying America's team, America's coffee on Independence Day. Also, one other thing, the company is owned by military veterans. So if, you know, just kind of be everything with full disclosure. So Mom, would you pay full price for this coffee? matinee or ask for a refund? And what do you think about the Cowboys?
Refund. I think it was a very bad idea from the Cowboys. Look, if I'm a man and I go home and I beat the crap out of my wife, but then, oh, the next day, let me give $500,000 to the domestic violence initiative. Am I right for beating the crap out my wife?
No.
Am I right?
No.
Because I gave this money over here, does that make what I did right?
No.
I'm dead wrong.
Of course.
The Cowboys are dead wrong. The Cowboys are dead wrong. In fact, they should not let anything like that even be sold on their premises or anything that they're affiliated with. They should go as far away. And they call themselves America's team. They should run from that. Jerry Jones, he lost his rabbit ass mind on that one.
Oh, yeah.
Bad idea.
Very, very bad idea. Don't know if they cared or what was going on with them, but they, number one, the coffee company needs to change its name. They don't need to have Rifle in their name. Number two, the Cowboys need to rethink who they align themselves with, because we're looking at you, Cowboys. We're looking at you, and we know some of the things that you've done in the past. You haven't been 100% all in with supporting Black initiatives, and also, you know, Colin Kaepernick, you haven't supported him. So we see these things. So, and you have a team full of predominantly Black players. Okay. And I will ask for a refund as well.
Refund, totally.
So over the weekend, Michael Rubin, who is a billionaire, had his annual 4th of July white party. So this included, of course, Jay-Z was there, Drake, Travis Scott, Kendall Jenner, Meek Mill, Robert Kraft, Miguel and his wife, Jason Tatum. You can just name all of them, okay?
Yeah.
And this was at his $50 million Hampton estate. Yeah. And some of the invitees got some bottles of Jay-Z champagne that's worth over $700 a pop. Of course, they had poolside cocktails.
This was a swag bag. Yes. When you say they got it, it was a swag
bag. It was a swag bag. Okay. My bad. Okay. It was, you know, poolside cocktails, beachfront fireworks, everything that you could possibly think of.
Right. Gotcha.
So, Mom, would you want a refund for this party? Would you pay full price or would you pay matinee?
Wait a minute. Let me ask you this. Have you disclosed everything about this? Or are you going to lure me into something and then tell me later the KKK was there?
Well, no. So here, I have my point of view from looking at the photos, and I can disclose that to you. But just looking at the photos in general. Looking at the photos in general, and this is not, I'm sure there was some Black women there. I'm sure. Maybe Beyonce was there. I'm not 100% sure. And I know Ellie Mae. But it looked to me to be predominantly Black men, white men, maybe 1 or 2% Black women, and of course, lots of white women. Didn't like that look as an aesthetic when it was overwhelmingly, and also that it was on the 4th of July. From my perspective, I'm coming at it like, maybe they didn't need to have this. Maybe they could have had us took a stand this year and said, look at all the stuff that women have gone through, and obviously Black people and people of color have gone through. Let's donate all this money that we have, wasting it on a white party when somebody, the guy, what's his name? Michael Rubin's girlfriend or fiance, whatever she is, they have a couple kids together, wound up in the ER because she fell somewhere and had to go to the ER.
Well, she just probably got drunk or whatever.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. But I didn't like the look of it. It just made me upset. Okay. As somebody who is okay and doing, you know, pretty decent in life, I looked at these millionaires and billionaires.
Okay.
And I said, you're not reading the room. Refund. Go ahead. Sorry, Mom. Sorry.
I think they read their room right. Okay, because they're not in the same room with the rest of us. They read their room just fine. Okay, so are you asking me what's the question to me? Would I take a refund or what? Or do I
refund matinee or pay full price to attend this party?
That's your question to me.
Yes, and you know I like to party.
So. Okay, yeah, yes, you do, and you totally indulge a lot. You and your husband totally in food, drink, and travel. Totally, I can't even believe this is coming out your mouth.
But it just made me upset.
Was that you who sent me the pictures of all kind of exotic food and drink and everything from over the rest? Was that you whose husband served me some top shelf tequila and this and that and oh my God, for some hundreds of dollars and this? Wait a minute. Who was that? And it was just us.
Different.
Yeah. Let me tell you something.
That's different.
Don't make me call you out, daughter, for your extravagance. Don't make me call you out, okay? Just what I'm going to say to you. I'll pay goddamn top price. I'll pay top ticket. If I can get in that bed, boy, I come out. I don't give a damn what color's in there. Let me in. Hell yeah. Give me some of that $700 taste. Give me some of that libation. Let me see the bling. Give me my swag bag. Let me get the signature. Let me get some snapshots with everybody. Let me party. If I fall, let me bounce back up and keep on partying.
Couldn't they hold it off this year? Maybe next year.
Life is short. Look, life is short. I hold off on July the 5th. I felt like
that's what LeBron did. LeBron had a party on the 5th instead of the 4th.
Well, hey,
I act like that.
Whatever. No, man, no. I'm gonna have my party and this and that. I don't care. Whatever. It's too late to bring the rescind the invitations. No, I'll pay top price. I'd love to get in there. Hell yeah, I'll pay top price because my swag bag gonna be worth more than the ticket of admission. So okay. Yes, I would love it.
Okay.
I ain't got to suffer all the time. No.
I don't suffer all the time.
You don't suffer ever. That's why I can't even believe you saying this. I can't believe it's coming out your mouth.
I'm sorry. That wasn't nice. Please forgive me. That was wrong with me. I'm sorry. All right. So for the last hooch moment, actually, let's talk about the hooch moment of the week. This is not even about refund or, you know, matinee or full price. Your boy Elon Musk tweeted, "Doing my best to help the underpopulation crisis. A collapsing birth rate is the biggest danger civilization faces." And okay. So these comments come a day after it was reported Musk had twins in November with one of his top executives. So what are your thoughts, Ma?
I don't have any thoughts about him. You know he wants to have a bunch of kids. He already has a bunch of kids. He's going to keep on making them. He's got all the money in the world. He can afford them. And he believes that people should have big families. He said that. He didn't say in particular what color people and what this and what that, but he's always saying that people should have big families.
Okay. And he's supporting. He has a total of 9 children.
About 11 or 12, the last I heard. But
it might have increased since
we let me tell you something. You can agree or disagree. He's not probably spending that much time with any of them, but there's one thing about it. He can pay a lot of money to have them, you know, to compensate for all the stuff that he doesn't do. And the way his mind is, it might be good if he's not around him that much. I'm not too sure he'd be a good parent.
Yeah, you probably are right.
Who knows? I don't know. I don't know one way or the other, but I do know he supports his own kids through money that he's, you know, stolen from the rest of us. but he supports his kids.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Okay. So, I mean, hey, to each his own, whatever.
I just thought it was funny.
I'm pretty sure that he is not such a proponent of women's rights. I'm pretty sure he's not, you know.
No,
I'm pretty sure he was very happy to see the demise of Roe v. Wade. I'm pretty sure. you know.
Yes, as he keeps tweeting things like this.
I mean, what do you want to say? You already know that's where he's coming from.
I don't have anything good to say about Elon Musk at this point, unless he decides to sponsor us. No,
but he's one of your favorite people because you like to talk.
Well, he might try to sponsor us. You never know. Who knows what he's doing? Okay. But anyway, no, in all seriousness, I'm not surprised at anything that comes out of Elon Musk's mouth. You know, I really
I'll take
not,
a so. Refund rather than to hear him talk. Just give me a refund.
All right, Bob, we need to know three things that made you smile.
To see the sun, the stars, and the moon. Bam.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Bam this time.
Bam.
Number one, Rihanna is officially the youngest self-made billionaire at the age of 34. Kylie Jenner is not a billionaire, ladies and gentlemen. She is wealthy, of course, with a net worth of about 600 mil, but she is not a billionaire, and Rihanna is the youngest.
Okay.
Number two, Big Sean and Jhené Aiko are expecting their first child together and her second child. She has a 13-year-old from a previous relationship. Actually, you know, Omarion's brother is the father of her 13-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
And finally, Mind Right. You see the tequila.
Yeah.
This is tequila. Yeah. I didn't have tequila. I had vodka. Okay. Oh boy. Is yeah. giving to me. Founder Ashley Edwards, a 31-year-old Black woman, known as the first Black woman from New Jersey to raise over $1 million, has broken her own record and has had total funding from this last seed round of 2.8 million. So congratulations to her. We don't see many women, and in particular Black women, in venture capitalism. And I like to see that. Congratulations to her.
Wonderful. Congrats. Okay.
Anything you want to say, Mom, before we
I want everybody to stay safe. Please don't, you know, pull those guns out. People get mad and start pulling out guns. Don't look at me like I'm crazy, daughter. You know, I mean, all over the weekend, how many shootings did we hear about? Come on, come on. I, we can resolve things without resorting to handguns. You know, we don't go pulling out those guns. You know what? Pull out the guns when you see a grizzly bear coming after you, a real grizzly bear, not a human person that you're calling a grizzly bear. But when you see a grizzly bear coming for you, okay? When you see a real four-legged grizzly bear coming after you, pull out your gun then. Let's see how often you draw your gun when you see a grizzly bear coming for you, okay? How many?
Everybody go vote.
Okay?
Just go vote. Pay attention to your local elections.
Not just go vote. Not just go vote. Don't pull out those guns.
No.
Some people take the gun with them on the way to go vote. Okay? Oh, don't pull out those guns. Yeah. Baby.
I know you're not joking because it's true.
I am not joking. As simple as it sounds, don't pull out those guns. People too quick to go pull out those guns. Don't pull out those guns. When you see that bear coming, go get your gun then. Okay?
So guys.
In the meantime, how safe will we all be? If you don't pull your gun until you see a bear.
So guys, thanks for listening. Please be safe this weekend and stay cool. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at the Bambushi Happy Hour, and also All Things Peju. And guys, subscribe to our YouTube channel at All Things Peju. Bye guys.
Bye.